Hear me, ye citizens of Worcester. Hear me, ye who have come to witness this execution of the four found guilty of a single murder. By the order of your select man, do not. If ye be physicians or nurses or patients who have in any way been lately concerned with smallpox, do not remain in this assemble unless ye have been sufficiently cleaned.
We have heard two musical excerpts from the opera Bathsheba Spooner, a work dramatizing events leading up to the public hanging on July the 2nd, 1778, of Bathsheba, Ross, her lover, and two accomplices in Worcester, Massachusetts, for the murder of her husband, Joshua. Our excerpts underscore the problems inherent in this art form, which is essentially a drama with the text sung, not spoken. For if the text is to dominate, as in the prodding prose of the sheriff's narration of the crime entitled Hear Me, then simplified musical underpinning, commonly called recitative, is appropriate. By contrast, if passion bordering on the histrionic is appropriate, then the music must come to the fore. With an aria such as Ross's impassioned declaration about his lover, she is beautiful, she is wonderful. The story of Bathsheba, though drawn from extensive historical documents, underscores the difficulty, even after two centuries, of making a fair judgment about this complex person. Scene 2, between Bathsheba and her father, will illustrate. Bathsheba sings the simple air, professing, "You, dear father, are my world," only to hear him respond that she is too young to understand, and her security demands that he arrange a forced marriage, despite her plea that happiness as Mrs. Spooner is impossible. And after soliloquizing about matters of import, Bathsheba returns to serve tea, but with restrained sarcasm.
The ways of this world. Soon you will be a woman. I am forced to make arrangements. We have matters of import to discuss. Let us say a proposed, a suggested, perhaps a recommended marriage, the security you would derive.
Let me bring tea. I shall return. Matters of concern, happiness is misunderstood. prices placed on the only security in this world I have ever known. That is of import. Matters of concern.
Bathsheba, tea or no tea, we must talk.
This marriage would leave my life, I'm so very sure, in utter hopelessness. Mr. Spooner, Mother says, we have matters to discuss.
In scene three, the lovers, Ross and Bathsheba, reveal their complex relationship. Ross wants to show thanks, with Bathsheba professing to be well repaid, for with her lover, life has been changed from its former boredom to one of tender care. Their ensemble singing reaches a pitch of emotion as they skirt around the possibility of murdering Joshua. But Ross, much younger and much more naive, questions what price love. But first, note that opera at times must resort to theatrical devices in the music, as the skipping or travel music, which underlays Ross's thought we could travel west, illustrates.
We could travel west. How can I at least show my thanks? How can I ever repay the indebtedness I shall always feel?
Your talk is foolish, Mr. Ross. You owe me nothing. And that I am already well repaid.
Repaid? But surely, Mr. Spooner, that is foolish talk. I have done nothing.
What you have done is leave him, Mr. Ross, needing my gentle, tender care. Nursing you has truly changed my life. Did you happen?
Can I undo his gate. Can love be found beyond this horrid scene? God knows the anguish, bliss that we celebrate.
Once the crime of murder has been established, the plot is considerably complicated by Bathsheba's realization that she is pregnant. In scene 7, she has a lengthy, moving meeting with the Reverend McCarty, and when she finally reveals her secret about the pregnancy, he professes confidence that a stay of execution will be obtainable, that she can give birth to the child and then face her execution. The irony of life, a basic ingredient in effective drama, however, ultimately proves the minister wrong, for as he tries to calm Bathsheba's near hysteria over her pregnancy, she sings with an intensity bordering on insanity that almost hints that she understands his failure. Note how opera lends itself to this scene, for conflicting ideas, his optimism and her pessimism, can be musically stated at the same time.
I ask not for the sympathy of most.
Operas since Mozart's time have foregone the excitement of occasional large choral scenes, and Bathsheba Spooner is no exception. The Belle of Brookville suggests the somewhat schleazy side of her nature, an attitude doubtless indulged in by many poorer natives of Worcester who resented this daughter of the local aristocracy. And the drinking song, Some Folk Be a Silly Dog, is an authentic 18th century drinking song broadside which doubtless enjoyed currency in the taverns of 18th century Worcester.
She's just the belle of the county. Some people call her the Brookfield Beauty. But with the gloves on, she is a rooftop parlor's beauty. Whether in she's somewhere else, anywhere that she goes, she is our duty, she is our sooty, she is our belle of them all. Silly dog, some be just a tool, oh. Some folk be a stupid cur, and some be just a fool, oh. One can be a wild old man, can be tough as brass, oh. But I hate most leaden heads that act just like an ass, oh. Come along, fill up the cup, right up to the brim, oh. Join a jolly song once more.
The reverse side of the cassette will give excerpts of the opera, but with an orchestral accompaniment. Note the prelude of this opera uses the same psalm tune for a theme as heard in the mournful poem and in the sheriff's recitative. Many of the excerpts will be the same as heard with the keyboard version, but no commentary is supplied, allowing for lengthier musical examples.